All right, well, last time we finished up Genesis 24. We're picking up in Genesis 25. I have entitled this, Abraham Dies, God's Promise or God's Covenant Does Not. Abraham dies, God's promise or God's covenant does not. In Genesis 25, we begin reading, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Now, evidently, and as you read the narrative of Genesis, it appears that Sarah has died. And so he has mourned Sarah, he has buried Sarah, and now he takes another wife. Her name is Keturah. Verse 2, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. Now, those are six children. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Because he's not a young man. To be clear, that does let us know that Sarah was the one having difficulty with the conception. And it makes the conception of Isaac all the more miraculous, right? Jokshan begot or fathered Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Dedan were Asherim, Letashim, and Lumim. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abidah, and Eldah. All these were the children of Keturah. Now, you'll notice something about this lineage. You have two sons of Keturah and their descendants who are mentioned, and then the author of Genesis is going to move on. So he does not tell you about the sons of Zimran, Medan, Ishbak, or Shuah. They're not listed at all. Verse number 5, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. This is a reminder that there is a singular son of promise, a singular son through whom the covenant that God made with Abraham, it is going to be remembered, it's going to be sustained, it's going to be kept. Verse 6, but before he died, that would be Abraham, gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was living, he sent them eastward away from his son Isaac to the country of the east. So after Sarah died, Abraham evidently married not just Keturah, but also other concubines. And those concubines bore children for Abraham. One of the commentators for Genesis that I read, his name is Dr. Salehammer. He actually taught at Southeastern when I was there. Dr. Salehammer said that that Genesis, after the death of Sarah, that he is kind of rejuvenated. That this is the word he used. And we see that with his children and with his concubines. And yet, when he senses his decline, he gathers up his family and he says, okay, I'm giving my land and I'm giving the lion's share of my possessions to the son of promise, who is Isaac, but I'm not going to send the rest of you away empty-handed. I'm going to give you provision, but you're not going to be able to live here. And so he sends them away with a kind of inheritance to all of the family members, to the concubines, and to the children. Verse 7, this is the sum of the years, the length of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Okay. Well, that explains how he has kind of a second family, doesn't he? Because how old is he when he gives birth to Isaac? It's a little over 100, isn't he? Maybe 100? Something like that. So he has 75 years after he gives birth to Isaac. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good or ripe old age, an old man and full of years. That is, he's contented. He's lived a long and satisfying life and was gathered to his people. That is, he joined his ancestors in death. Now, you might remember in Genesis chapter 15, a long time ago, God is promising Abraham he's going to live into old age. Genesis 15, God is speaking, "Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age." Verse number 9, "And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before or east of Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zophar the Hittite." Now, that's the cave and that's the field that Abraham bought. You remember that, correct? He bought it originally for a burial place for Sarah, and now he is being buried with his wife Sarah. Verse number 10, "This is the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried along with Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt or settled in Beer Lahai-Roi." This is an interesting comment, and if you were reading it and you weren't, particularly if you hadn't read the chapters that led up to it, you might not see its significance. But you'll notice the scripture says that God blessed his son Isaac. It is one more indication that Isaac is the son of promise. He has a unique relationship with Isaac. God does, because he had a unique relationship with his father. God has promised that through Abraham, in Abraham's seed, all the world is going to be blessed. And we are going to learn that that continuation of that seed isn't all of his seed, it's Isaac. And consequently, that seed of Isaac is going to continue, isn't it? I need to find something. Give me just a second. I know this is a little odd, but I wrote these notes before. I want to read something to you out of the hymn book that is pertinent. It's actually hymn number 1. The title of the hymn is "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty." This is verse 3 of that hymn. "Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with his love he befriend thee." Yeah. Those are great lyrics. In kind of non-King James English, here's what we've just read. We've just read that it is no small thing for God to befriend you. It is no small thing for the Bible to say that God has blessed you. And so we've just noted in verse number 11 that God blessed Abraham's son Isaac. Verse number 12, "Now this is the genealogy, the family records of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Agar, the Egyptian, Sarah's maidservant, bore to Abraham." All right. This business of genealogy or family records, we've seen this language before. It is a way to bracket a passage. It is a way to show you, okay, here's a section of Scripture. "And these were the names of the son of Ishmael by their names according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebajoth, then Kedar, Adbeel, Mibshan, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadar, Temah, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedemah. You'll notice how many sons does Ishmael have? He has 12, doesn't he? So, indeed, God promised to bless Ishmael, and he has kept his promise. Ishmael does have 12 sons, and those sons are going to become kind of kingdoms, right? 16, these were the sons of Ishmael, and these were their names by their towns or villages and their settlements or encampments, 12 princes according to their nations or tribes or clans. These were the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, that is, joined his ancestors in death. They dwelt from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt as you go toward Assyria. He died in the presence of all his brethren. That is the King James translation there, or New King James. Some other translations actually provide another translation, and I think they're probably correct at this point. And I think it's probably because there is a better Hebrew text. And here's what that other Hebrew text tells us about Ishmael. He lived in opposition to all his brothers, or they lived in open hostility toward all their relatives. You might remember that one of the prophecies that is given about Ishmael is connected to him being a man of war, a man of conflict. In fact, when we go back, here's what we find in Genesis 16. This is the conversation that that Hagar has with the angel of the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. He said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She replied, I am running away from my mistress Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, you must go back to your mistress and submit to her mistreatment. The angel of the Lord also said to her, I will greatly multiply your offspring, and they will be too many to count. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, you have conceived and will have a son. You will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your cry of affliction. This man will be like a wild donkey. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live at odds with all his brothers. Now, this is a terrible thing to be told about a baby that's in your womb, that he's going to be like a wild donkey. The long and the short of this instruction or this prophecy is that he's a troublemaker. He's just always in a feud. He's always in a fight. He's always in a dispute. Verse 19, this is the genealogy, the family records of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot or fathered Isaac. Now, isn't it interesting? You deal with Ishmael and you deal with his record, and then you're told that he's dead, and now you go back and you pick up the family lineage and the history of Isaac. And why is that? Because one more time, he is the son of promise. He's the son through whom the covenant is extended. So you're told about Ishmael, and you're told that the promises God made to Ishmael prove true, but he is not the centerpiece of the story because he's not the one through whom the covenant is revealed. Now, as a quick aside, and this is little more than an aside, it is kind of commonly understood that Islam and the people of Islam have descended from Ishmael. And their religion makes much more significance of Ishmael. In fact, we will sometimes hear people refer to the religions of the book or the religions of Abraham. And when they do that, they are talking about Judaism, right? They're talking about Christianity, and then they're talking about Islam. And there is sometimes a common, the idea is that all of those religions are effectively the same. Well, that obviously is not true. The relationship between Judaism and Christianity, depending on what kind of Jew you're talking about, we share in common a great deal of Scripture. But on the critical issue of who is Jesus, all of those religions part ways, right? A Jew, by definition, if he is not a Messianic Jew, does not believe that Jesus is the Christ. He does not believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah. And so he does not look to Jesus for salvation. Obviously, the Christian does. In addition to that, Islam is not willing to define Jesus in the same ways that Christians do. They say that he is a prophet, but they do not believe he is the Messiah, and they deny that he was even crucified. He was not crucified. They are told that Allah made it appear that Jesus was crucified, but he was actually not. Well, those are significant points of disagreement. Those are not religions that believe the same thing. Okay, so verse number 20. Isaac was 40 years old when he took or married Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padam Aram, and he was the sister of Laban the Syrian. Now, we already know that. We've already read that chapter. Now, Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, isn't it fascinating that you have a similar problem again? Abraham and Sarah not able to conceive. Sarah says, let's solve the problem ourselves. Let's get Hagar to be a surrogate. This will work out fine. Abraham says, okay, dear, when he should have said, no, dear. And so they have a mess, right? In this case, perhaps Isaac has learned the lesson. And when he faces the problem of infertility and his wife faces the problem of infertility, he says, we better pray. We better plead with the Lord to solve the problem of infertility, because when people try to remake the institution of marriage into something else, it's always a disaster. So they pray, they seek the Lord, and the Lord granted their plea, particularly it says Isaac's plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. Verse 22, but the children struggled together within her, that is, with each other in her womb. So as opposed to the kids just kind of frolicking in there, it felt like there was a wrestling match going on with the two boys that are in his womb, in her womb. So she says to the Lord, if all is well, why am I like this? That is, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. Now, again, this is fascinating to me because Isaac and Rebekah are praying people. And when they are faced with circumstances that they can't control, they are behaving wisely. They are praying. I want to kind of clap for them. Kudos. You guys are, we're getting better here. We're progressing. God's covenant people are learning lessons. Verse 23, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Verse 23. The New Living Translation says, and the Lord told her, the sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve your younger son. Well, we're into an idea now that I won't be able to finish tonight. So we'll pick back up there in verse 25, and we will find out, at least to some degree, the significance of this promise that Rebekah hears, and a strange prophecy that the younger son is going to be superior to the older son. That is unusual. That is not the natural order of things. And so we'll pick up there next time. Again, we've already seen how Abraham has died, but God's promise, God's covenant, has not. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy to us as we study your word. We look forward to continuing this chapter and learning more and understanding more and seeing more. Again, all of this leads us eventually to Jesus. He is the one through whom and whereby the promise that you made to Abraham is ultimately fulfilled. He is the seed of Abraham, through whom and in whom and whereby all the families of the earth are blessed. Because in him there is salvation. There is forgiveness of sin. There is victory over death. There is the gift of the Holy Spirit who empowers people to pursue likeness, holiness, godliness. And there is ultimately identity as sons and daughters of yours, never ever to be lost or forfeited. All of this is in Jesus. He is the seed in whom, through whom, whereby all the families of the earth are blessed. So you've kept your promise, and we're studying how that promise develops through the book of Genesis. We praise you and give you glory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.